Hello, everyone. This is Terry Latham calling in from Austin, Texas, and welcome to the Monday Motivational Call. We're coming in on the tail end of 2017, and what a great year it has been. And here was what it was just a couple months back. We had a great convention where we revealed some new science, where a technology that we all absolutely have known that's just a massive breakthrough. Now the world is, we're taking it to the world, and it's not on trial anymore. We're starting to see some record growth. We've seen over 30% growth since the convention, and a lot of exciting things are starting to happen. As tonight, going to be our last call for the year 2017, I reached out and tried to see who could be the best person to come on to our call tonight, and that was none other than our founder, Tyler Norton, who could also help us get focused on what we need to accomplish when we want to set our goals for 2018 for you and your family and your loved ones and the people around the world. So, Tyler, are you with us?
I'm here, Terry. Can you hear me okay?
Man, we got you. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're busy and getting ready for Christmas, and I know, like I said, I know you're traveling around the world, but thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule with us tonight.
Well, it's a real privilege, Terry. Thanks for having me. Thanks for all you've done to make this year an incredible year with your leadership and your team. Terry, as I get launched here, tell me a target amount of time here. How long would you like me to take on your call tonight?
You know, Tyler, I was talking to Susan. I said, you know, tonight we normally go about 30 minutes, but, man, if we go 45 minutes to an hour, I mean, whatever you got, we'll take it.
I won't do that to you. We'll keep it 30 minutes. But, well, first off, let me just say thank you to everyone who's joined tonight. Your time is as precious as mine, and the fact that you jump on a call here tonight in support of one another and following Terry's leadership and take a few minutes and let me share some thoughts and feelings with you is humbling, and I just want to thank you for the incredible contributions that you've all made to ASEA, to me personally, so many of you that I've gotten a chance to know and learn from have made a difference in my life. I've spent some time jotting down some Christmas cards and sending some things out in the mail, and my heart just overflows with gratitude for so many wonderful people in this company, and I want to thank you for that. Terry, I would be remiss if I didn't start by just saying we're seeing some really special things happening here, to your point, since convention. Several record weeks in a row, back-to-back, that we've had. And we're really starting to see the potential of ASEA kind of starting to come into its own. It's not happening in just one part of the world. It's happening all over. I'm looking now at the regional and global summaries of the last week's worth of work, and virtually every region in the world is over its planned targets for last week alone. And that could be said for several weeks in a row. And I love the way you stated it. You know, we've rolled out this new science, and it's helping people to put in context what it is that we have, and the notion of it not being on trial. Boy, I can tell you, when Dad and I first started kicking around the notion of starting a company with this product, we knew we were out in front of where even general science was at the time. Most people couldn't get their hands around what we had or what we were doing. Little did we know that even 7 and 8 years later, there sure be a lot of folks still trying to figure out exactly just how special this is, and we can see the future in front of us. I once heard a gentleman share a metaphor that I thought was really interesting. I spent a summer when I was in college in San Diego working. My goal was to, I never thought I'd be a surfer, but I went out and actually purchased a boogie board, and we'd get up real early in the morning before work, and we'd go down to the beach. And I started to learn, you know, how waves moved, and we'd spend time out there waiting. And then when you first got into the game, you'd paddle furiously after just about anything that you saw. And then after a while, you'd start to realize that they came in sets, and that sometimes the last wave was the biggest in the set, and you'd start to watch for it. And you'd start to learn that if you could position yourself on that board just at the right spot, and really watch it coming towards you, and then get yourself in the right position, you'd have an opportunity as that wave started to lift you up. You'd have fins on, and you'd kick and paddle with all your might, and you'd put yourself right in a spot where you could do what they call dropping in on the wave, and you'd just get right to the crest of it, and then you'd lean into that wave and drop that board onto the face. And I once heard a gentleman talking about opportunity and how it's much like doing surveillance out on the horizon, waiting for a set of waves to come in, and that people tend to either choose a wave and decide they're going to paddle like mad to get to it and get to the right spot so that they can actually drop in and have the ride of their life. And other people might miss that wave. They might actually look at it and not see it for what it's worth. And if it's the last wave of the set, they may spend a long time waiting for that wave to come again. And I just want to go on record with you, Terry, and with your squad here on the phone tonight. You're about ready, if you're watching what's happening right now, you're about ready to see a wave that you need to start paddling for hard. And the best time to be doing that is right at the tail end of this year, because there's nothing like the concept of starting over. I love starting over a new week. I love starting over a new month. But I love starting over a new year. And we're coming around the bend into a whole new year, armed around the world and definitely in the United States with more advantage, strategic advantage, than we've ever had in the history of this company. And if you've come to us at this time, if you've thrown on a spring suit and paddled out and you're waiting for the wave, I just want you to know that it's starting to crest out there and you need to turn and belly down on that board and start kicking and paddling to get yourself in the right spot. And I always take the last 2 weeks of the year to really kind of consider, where's the wave going this next year for me personally and my family? But boy, I can tell you, we're sure excited about where it's going to be this next year for ASEA. You're going to see record growth in ASEA this next year. And if you're in the right mindset and willing to put your effort towards it, you're going to drop in on the wave, and we're all going to have a ride here that I think we've known is coming, and we've been positioning the company for it. Think about the operational infrastructure and scalability we have here at ASEA. We have a 40-plus thousand square foot production facility that we've had now for a handful of years. We're able to meet production demand that can spike very quickly. We've designed it to be modular in nature so that we can grow and scale as we need to. And I'll tell you, we're ready on that side. We just crossed over into a new IT system. We've had some hiccups and some issues as we've crossed over. We knew we would. But it's starting to iron out, and we still have issues each week that we get our hands on and attention on, but we're starting to see a clear path ahead to us on a new system that we know will move and scale with us as this wave starts to lift, and definitely as it starts to curl and we drop into it. We're in a brand new facility or building here. It's a 50,000 square foot facility. We're ready to support worldwide growth in this business, and I've thought about every single facet of our company, and what you can always think of your business in terms of demand generation and demand fulfillment. Most businesses are struggling on one side of that coin or the other. They're trying to create and generate demand, and then once they get it, they try to keep up with it. And we have put so much energy in the demand fulfillment side of the business, knowing that there would come a time when we would start to see significant spikes in demand and growth. And I'm just so excited to tell you that I don't see issues with us being able to scale and grow with just the beginnings of the wave that we're starting to feel and see. We just feel so excited and grateful to be ready for it. You're up for a great 2018. I can tell you that we here at the company have been spending weeks on end designing and engineering our plans for next year. We know where our time's going to be spent. We know where our money's going to be spent. I can tell you almost to the dollar where we're investing energy, where we're doubling down on strategic advantage. And that plan will be presented to my dad and the rest of the board of directors just in 48 hours, 2 days from now. But we have spiritually created 2018, if you'll allow me to say it that way. We've spent so much time that if you were to quiz me right now on what's going to happen next year, I could tell you so many different things. And I want to challenge you to do the same. I want to challenge you to use the power of vision, the power of being able to look forward and pull out a calendar and stare at a one-page view of the year. Lay in the meetings and events that you know you're not going to miss right now. Start blocking the time on your calendar that say, you know what, this is where I'm going to commit my energy, my resources, and my attention into this next year. Take time to process how you're going to grow your business. What kind of growth do you want to see? Where do you want to see it? With whom? Set some goals and targets for yourself. Spend time thinking about it, because what I've learned is very few people will invest the mental energy and time it takes to envision the future. Make sure the numbers line up. Back into what it's going to take for you on an activity level to deliver the kinds of results that you want, and then make a clear decision that, of what you're going to do to go get it done. I can tell you that I am a huge believer and have taught and trained across this company for a lot of years on the notion of desire. I love starting with somebody by asking, what is it that you really want? And I can always tell when somebody's just giving me a pleasant answer as opposed to really digging into the corners of their heart and saying, you know what, this is what I truly, truly want in my life. If you'll take some time and write that down, literally take out a pen, don't type it, take out a pen and write it on a piece of paper. I want you to touch that paper. I want you to see the ink rolling onto that paper. And I want to challenge you to share that with somebody on this call, somebody you care about that you know cares about you. And I want you to tell me and others what you want. In fact, I'll tell you what, Terry, I'm going to give you my email address. I want you to send it to me. It's tnorton@acea.net, and I want to hear from anybody on this call that's willing to take my challenge. One, I want you to write down what it is you want. I've shared for many years the six D's of success, and the first one is desire. And I say it that way because it's the back end of the word desire is sire. And to sire, if you're a sire horse, is to be the father or the lord or the creator. Desire is the seed of creation. It's where it starts. I can't work or coach somebody that doesn't know what they want. I'm constantly asking people, tell me what it is you're trying to accomplish. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you desire. What do you want to be the lord of and create? And I want to challenge you to take some time and process that. And don't you dare write something down that's truly not deep in your heart something you want. You can make it personal. It can be relationship-oriented. It can be physical. It can be health. It can be financial independence and success. It could be a rank level achieved inside the company or an income level. But what I've learned is the people that are willing to take some time and really audit their hearts and souls and say, well, this is what I really want for myself. And then they'll actually exercise the faith necessary to at least write it down and share it with somebody else. Boy, I've learned that those are the people that succeed. I love sitting down with somebody and asking them, what is it that you see in your future that you truly, truly want? And I can tell you this, there's a large percentage of folks out there that never take the time to process that and write it down. And frankly, they're kind of tossed about on the water. They don't really know which direction they're headed and what it is they want. So I want to challenge you with that. Be careful to write down things that are just kind of general statements of intent. Have a great summer, or world peace, or peace, love, and happiness. I kind of giggle when people write those down. I want you to get specific on this. I want you to take some time and actually write down specific and measurable things that you want to have happen in your life. If you say, oh, I just want to help people, I hear that a lot. I used to have an old boss that would say, whenever somebody would say, you know, what are you doing in this business? Oh, I love people. And he said, well, cannibals love people too. And I used to always laugh when he'd say that. And he'd say, you just don't tell me you love people. Cannibals love people, and they end up eating them. And we just laugh and laugh. And he'd say, sit down and write down what you mean by that. Tell me what it is you're trying to accomplish and get specific. There's so many folks out there that have general intentions, and they never take the time to put some specific things down. Share it with someone you love or somebody in your team. Share it with me, and I'm going to read through it. I want to read. It inspires me to hear what people want. I love to become an agent of helping what other people get what they want. Every time in my life when I've made that my chief all-consuming occupation, that is helping someone else get what they want, I've been happier. I've been less centered on myself. I felt like I was living true to what I was designed and engineered to do and become on this earth when I'm helping others to get what they want. Now flip it away the other way and ask yourself, how well do you know what others around you want? and specifically those people that you've taken interest in, that you want to be their leader. You want to be someone that becomes an agent to them reaching what they want. And become very familiar with that. Don't just write down your own. That's the starting point. Now I want you to say, who are the 3 to 5 most important people in my life that if I help them get what they want, I'll by definition be driving towards what I want. And boy, when you zoom in and start to really process, who are those people that are not only going to get my time, but they're going to get my focused attention? That is such a limited resource in this day and age, focused attention. You know, I was reading something the other day that said that the average American family spends 38 minutes together in the same room in a home on a daily basis. Who are the people I feel I need to put my most focused attention on? Boy, it's my 6 kids and my wife, right? And focused attention, they said that 38 minutes that dads and moms and kids are spending in a family together is still interfered with by cell phones and iPads and TV screens and computer screens. And boy, I sat and pondered about that, and I thought, attention, true, meaningful, focused attention is the absolute most finite and scarce resource in the world. And if you want to reach your intentions, then start paying really close mind to your attention and where you're placing it. And I might add, at this time of season, it should be placed on key relationships that you love, people you want to signal that love to by focused attention. But boy, in your business, if you can tell me exactly what someone on your team wants to accomplish and you enlist and start campaigning from a point of conviction to becoming their champion, to getting to what they want, and you can speak to someone like me or Terry or anybody else and say, I know what Leland wants. I know exactly what he wants. He shared it with me, and I've enlisted my attention and my best efforts in helping him to do that. You want to feel unity and team come together. That's when people know what each other's trying to accomplish. They know one another's goals and intentions and desires, and they're applying selflessly their attention in support of those things. What an amazing business this is when you stop and consider the power of unity of vision, where one person's vision can align with another so much so that when one person is achieving, so are others. It's an amazing business that we're in that regard. It creates the conditions for alignment of success and achievement like nothing I've ever seen before. We should be wise and remember that our job as team leaders is to turn around, find those people in our organization who are willing to declare their desire to win and succeed here at ASEA, and then we must enlist our best efforts and attention on them. Now, once you know what you want, once you've got that written down, you've shot it to me, you've shot it to Terry, we've read it. When I read it, by the way, it's a punctuation mark on you. It's an exclamation mark when I read it. I affirm that vision. When we share that with one another and enlist others in that vision, it starts to pull together collective attention, the most powerful resource in the world. We start to give our energy and time and focus one to another. And what you're going to find is that creates unity of vision, which is a very powerful unseen force on a team. When that starts to come together, you've got a unique opportunity, and that is to start breaking it down into what I call emotionally doable activities. Now, why do I call it emotionally doable? I'm always interested at how quickly people will tell me their long-range goals. Nobody gets killed, or very few people get killed at long range. People get killed at short range. Hand-to-hand combat in a fighting situation is where the damage gets done. So everybody can look out on the horizon and say, I'm going to take that hill. I'm going to climb that mountain. But most people don't understand that the first place they're going to have an issue is close range, and that's tomorrow morning. And what you've got to do is you've got to take that desire and that unity of vision and that intention and pull all that back and then say, what's this going to take on a daily basis? What do I need to do every single day to punctuate with an exclamation mark my desire? And this is what I call breaking down activities into emotionally doable components. So is it emotionally doable if I've got a full-time job and I'm trying to build some part-time income with ASEA to do 50 phone calls in a day? That might start to feel emotionally undoable. And as a result, you'll start putting things out there that you don't believe you can do, and then you probably won't even start. I once heard a gentleman tell me that Michael Jordan, the great basketball player who I loved watching as a younger man, my dad lived in Chicago, and boy, we sure loved watching Jordan play. But early in his career, he set out to have a lifetime scoring average of 32 points per game. By the way, if you look up his career stats, I think this is a reflection of him coming back out of retirement so many times. I think he cleared 30, but may not have made it just quite to 32. He was pretty close. But for a while there, his lifetime career scoring average was north of 31 and rounded up to 32. But when he started playing early on in his career, he struggled so much to meet those targets. He'd go to sports psychologists and he'd have people tell him to write the number 32. I remember someone saying that they couldn't figure out because his number was 23. Maybe he was dyslexic. The fact is he was writing 32 on things to give himself the psychological mindset of his points per game. And at one point, the story goes, somebody asked him, "Hey, let me ask you a question. Can you score 8 points a quarter?" And all of a sudden it clicked. He didn't have to think about 32 points per game because that was a big bite of the apple. But if he could reduce it down to an emotionally doable component, 8 points a quarter, well, then that would be easier to do. You guys need to do the exact same thing. Once you've written that desire down, once you've got it clear, once you've shared it with people around you to unify vision and intention and attention, now I want you to break it down to daily emotionally doable components. It's the activity that absorbs anxiety. AAA, activity absorbs anxiety. And if you'll start managing activity instead of focusing on longer-term results, you'll get the results. You have to remember the importance of daily activities. Now, set them up as emotionally doable. Don't overreach them. Make them realistic and doable. And then manage and track that activity on a daily basis with the person you love and the person who's enlisted in your success. And if you'll do that, let's say it's 5 calls a day. Let's say it's X invites. Let's any number of things. If you'll just sit down and get serious about that, and when the bell rings on January 2nd and you're back in the saddle, and ready to rock and roll, and you just say, you know what, every single day I'm going to deliver on these handful of emotionally doable activities, you'll be amazed in 90 days if you stay true to that, what's going to happen to your team and your success. If you don't know what that activity looks like, start leaning up on your upline, asking questions of leaders like Terry and others, and saying, okay, what should be the activities I ought to do? And then don't try to be a hero. I used to tell people that started to work for me, if you're going to come go to work for me, I need you to do one thing. And that was to spare me your brilliance. And they'd look at me funny, and I'd laugh at them, and I'd say, here's the deal. I've done this before, so I need you to do exactly what I'm going to tell you to do and spare me your brilliance for a couple years. And if you'll quit coming in here and telling me you're smarter than me and you know how to do it and just do exactly what I tell you to do for 2 years, you'll be around. And in industries and businesses like these, so many people start off with the emotional intention of doing something. But that balloon has a hole in it, it seeps out, and they don't keep going. Get your activities outlined. Don't make it too big. Just make it emotionally doable. And check in with your upline to see what those activities are on a day-to-day basis and put the blinders on and don't outthink it. Just do it. Activity absorbs anxiety. If you feel anxious, then act. Quick word on this that I've shared many, many times in different settings. If you'll have high activity, you'll become more successful. Not only does it increase the school of transactions, the number of times that you're talking about these things to where it becomes natural and it flows for you, the other thing that will happen is you'll stop getting so worried about any one piece of activity that every activity will feel the same to you. Let me see if I can help you understand this. Terry, I've taught for many years at SEIA here and prior to that in my other lives that the concept of the more you do something, the less meaning it has. Let me give you an example. If I eat a piece of steak and I love red meat, and to you vegetarians, I apologize. I am a red meat eater, and I love a good steak. Let's assume for a minute that I haven't had steak for a year. I haven't had it for a long time, and my wife and I decide to go out for a steak. Well, that steak tonight is going to be really important to me. But if I came home after the steak and had a little leftover and tomorrow morning decided to heat it up and have some steak and eggs, the eggs and steak tomorrow morning, aside from being a leftover, wouldn't quite be the same. Nevertheless, I'd still appreciate it. if I came into work and Chuck Funky said, "Ty, let's go get some lunch together," I said, "Where'd you like to go?" He said, "Let's go get a steak." That third steak I've had now wouldn't mean quite as much as the first, would it? And if I did every meal steak by the end of the week, what do you think I'd want to eat? I'd probably just want a bowl of cereal. What is it about something that the more we do it, the less it can mean to us? They call that the law of diminishing marginal satisfaction or utility. That means every time I eat one thing like that again and again and again, it has less meaning. Well, what happens if we're not eating steak, but we're having appointments, or we're making phone calls, or we're talking to people we care about or we want to help? The more you do it, the less each individual one means to you. Now, I don't mean to suggest you don't care. Of course you care. But I will tell you this. People will sense that you are not over-promoting a single moment with them, and they'll start to listen to you differently. It's an amazing thing. So if you'll have high activity that's emotionally doable, I hope you're tracking with me, high activity that is emotionally doable, 8 points a quarter. Don't go after 32 points a game. Just break it down. Keep high activity. People will start to respond to you in a very distinct and different way than you've ever seen before. Most of the people that you're trying to connect with that aren't giving you the attention and the love that you want and need, you're spending way too much time with them. Many of you have heard me say, people come up, "I can't get my sister to do this." And I say, "Then leave her alone." The reason people don't do that is because they think, "Oh, I've got to stay with this one person." No, you don't. You got to campaign from a place of conviction and have high activity that's emotionally doable. Every day you got to talk to 5 people. Now, if I know that I'm going to have steak every day and a piece of steak falls on the ground on my plate, am I too worried about that little piece of steak on the ground? You see what I'm saying? If every appointment is something you have every day, and every visit and every call and every follow-up opportunity and invitation and the sharing of a tool, they start to normalize in their value to you. And you know what? People can sense it. And that is the mark and the smell of professionalism. Because you don't go to the doctor and he decides, you know, how to treat you differently than another. He treats everybody the same. And the mark of a true professional is a form of refined indifference. It's a form of, I'm not trying to change your eye color. I've got a lot of folks to talk to and I'm on a mission. I have a clear activity set of objectives in line with what I want to accomplish this year. And in a way, people can sense you're on the move and you're not trying to change their eye color. Boy, I hope this is making sense to you guys. Let me zoom back out and restate what I've said. This company's on the move. We've been establishing and setting up our position for scalable growth for literally since the day we started. My dad has been absolutely brutal with us, saying get the business ready for the growth it deserves and it's bound to have. And we're right there. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as we roll out a convention, we just start seeing this real steady lift and the steady curve. It's happening, guys. And you need to paddle and kick on that board to get to that right spot on the wave. Second, I want you to write down what you want. Desire. What is you want to sire, create, lord? Have you written it down? Write it down, take a picture of it, and text it to me. If you want to type it after it's written down, but there's something powerful about touching a piece of paper and a pen and watching the ink flow off. I'm kind of an old school dude that way. I want to challenge you to do that. Share it with somebody else, exactly what it is you want. Don't just write world peace and have a nice summer. I want real specific things you want to have happen in your life that you're willing to declare what you desire. And I want you to share it with others. I want you to send it to me at tnorton@acia.net. After that, I want you to sit down and start breaking down what you want into emotionally doable components. If you want something to happen by the year end, then break it down to the quarter. Break it down to the month. Break it down now to the week. Break it down to the day. It won't take you that long to back into it. If you don't know the numbers, then reach out to your upline leader and say, "Hey, help me sound this out. If I want to get to this place by convention and walk across the stage ranking advancing to this target, help me back into the kind of activity I would need to have on a daily basis." Once you've designed that activity, make sure it's emotionally doable. Don't overstretch it. Put it into components, 8 points a quarter instead of 32 points per game, and then be highly active in the process. And what's that high activity going to do for you? It's going to give you steak every day. Every person you talk to is another steak. And you start to normalize how you treat them with a form of refined indifference. You stop trying to change everybody's eye color and get them to do this, but you just move, and you move fast, and you move quickly to the next person you need to talk to. You're about ready to see the business opportunity of this company right-size itself against the product impact. I'm going to say that again. You're about ready to see the business opportunity in this company finally right-size itself on par with the product impact. And we've been a product company because of the impact it's had. The stories are enough to bring a tear to your eye. But you're now going to see people coming in talking about the business impact it's having in their life by being involved with this at a level that's on par with the product impact that's happening. Mark my words, if I'm on this call a year from now, you're all going to be nodding at me saying you are right. This is the year for you to come into your full potential is what it is you want to do and what it is you want to be. That's what I love most about ASEA is we're creating an environment where all people from any background, belief structure, ethnicity, disposition, I don't care politics, who you are, you walk in the door and believe you belong. And if you believe enough to come in here and believe in yourself, believe in the product, believe in the opportunity, you move straight into the belonging. And that belonging is a two-way street where people look and see you, and they want to help you, and you feel like you belong to them. And guess what happens next? You start to become. That's not a trite 3B word. That's the real stuff. When people believe in one another and the opportunity and this product set and where this company is going, they immediately belong. And what do they belong to? They belong to each other. They belong to this culture. They belong to this company. And when two people know they belong one to another, they immediately enlist in helping each other become. That's how it works. It happens in a marriage. It happens in a family. And it happens here at ASEA. And I challenge you as leaders to make sure you're clear on what believe, belong, become really means, and that you're taking very serious the belonging and the becoming of the people that give you their trust and say, I want to follow you. When they choose to follow you, you need to meet them at the level where they are and help them to grow and become. I want to finish with a couple personal notes, if I could, Terry. I know I'm a little over the 30 minutes.
No, you're good.
Thanks. I do want to say this. When I was made a senior vice president of a company when I was about 34 years old. I'm 47 now. That was 13 years ago. And, boy, I didn't deserve to be in that job at that age. It was a string of good luck. But I had a guy call me, and he said something to me. I have two things I've never forgotten. He said, hey, congratulations on your promotion. He says, can I give you some advice? I said, you bet. He said, number one, you were appointed, you were not anointed. And then he just paused. He says, don't ever inhale that you're number one in the world. You better stay humble. You were appointed, you were not anointed. And the second thing he said to me was, the price it's going to take to keep this job should be equal to or greater than the price it took to get it. Now I'm going to say that again. The price it took to keep this job, the price it's going to take to keep this job, senior vice president job, should be equal to or greater than the price it took to get it. I hung up the phone. That was a gentleman that was in his late 70s who had taken an interest in my career. He's on our board of directors. And I turned around and I opened my journal and I wrote that down. You were appointed, not anointed. Stay humble. And number two, the price it takes to keep the job needs to be equal to or greater than the price it took to get it. Network marketing kind of flies in the face of that concept, don't they? They say once you hit a certain point in your business, you can now reap the rewards with less work. But I'm going to tell you, I watch the people inside this company who have the incomes and the tax returns you'd like to trade with them, and they still live this law. They work. They put their effort in. Now, I've seen people get to a certain place that they want to and slow it down, and that's fine. But, boy, I want to challenge you guys to think about that in terms of the law of the harvest and what it is to become. To become says you never, ever rest and say to yourself, I'm there, I'm done. You always remember that the price it takes to keep something over time should be equal to or greater than the price it took to get it. And for me, that became a mantra. I tried to work harder. The higher I went in my career, I tried to beat people to the office. I tried to demonstrate that I'd work just as hard as they would. And as you get into leadership in this world, don't ever decide to push the clutch in too quickly. Your people are watching, and they want to know that you understand these rules of humility and hard work and investing. And I really haven't seen a lot of people in ASEA that have that have stopped pushing. The industry clearly creates opportunities for you to work 3, 4, 5 years or less like no one else will, and then live a long time like no one else can. I get those old statements. But I still believe there's power in the becoming. We've said for a long time here at this company, the outcome is just not income alone. It's also become. And if you stay humble and you push yourself forward, I think you're going to reach new levels and heights. Last thing I want to say to you guys tonight is last night I spent 2 or 3 hours over at a friend's house. He's 64 years old, and 3 weeks ago lost his wife to cancer. I sat on a couch next to a Christmas tree that will be the last Christmas tree that they decorated together after 44 years of marriage. And just sat and listened to this gentleman tell me the love story of his wife and where they met. And he'd break down every couple of minutes, and I'd just kind of sit by his side. I didn't know what else to do. Sometimes I didn't even know what to say, and for a guy like me, that's a rare thing, but I just didn't know what to say. I just sat next to him. And I actually was there for 2.5 hours, almost 3 hours. Brought him a small gift. He's a friend I've known in my church for a lot of years. But what I found is I got in the car driving away, and I thought, boy, the relationships matter. I can tell you this. I know in 15, 10, 20, 30 years, whatever amount of time I have left or you have left on this planet, when it comes down to it, I don't know that we're going to sit back and remember a given week's income or check, but I know this, we're going to remember the people. We're going to remember the relationships, and we're particularly going to remember the people closest to us. And if I could leave you with a thought, along with my sense of kind of passion and vision for what's going to happen next year for you and for us, and the challenges I've given you to really spend some time processing that, I just want to challenge you to also make sure you've got time in there for the people you love. I'm watching my dad get a little older. It's kind of tender for me in my heart. He's been a great influence in my life. And frankly, none of this would be here, not a building. I'm looking down the street. I'm here at the office. I'm looking down the street at our production facility. None of this would be here without my dad. And I'm grateful for him, on his impact and influence on my life. And if you stop and think about it, his choices to become, his choices to push, and to remember that it takes just as much to keep going as it did to get here, were the reasons why this opportunity was afforded to others. You are that same cascading influence and impact on other people. And I just would challenge you to invest in relationships, make a difference for people. We are all going to for sure someday look back and we'll remember the people and the impact and influence they had on us, and they'll remember us for the good that we've done. So I wish you the happiest of holidays. I challenge you to remember to invest in relationships. Those are the things we'll remember the most and value the most. And I really hope you'll see where you are on the water right now, that there's a big set of waves coming in. And if you'll belly down on that board and start kicking and paddling towards it, you're about ready to drop in on something that you can't even imagine yet. And we're ready for it. We are very, very ready for it. Terry, I'm flattered and humbled that you'd have me and host me. I think I went 40 minutes as opposed to 30. But I'm super grateful to be with you guys, and so thankful for the leadership and influence and impact of Terry. I know Terry and his lovely wife, Erin, well. They're two of my favorites on the planet. And I've watched Terry set his jaw and get clear on what he wants to do and his vision here, and I've watched him do it. And if ever there was a person that exemplifies the things I'm talking about tonight, it's him. And Terry, so many on your team could say the same of them. So thanks for your leadership, every one of you. And I'm going to hand it back to you, Terry. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and everybody on your team.
You too, my friend. Hey, Ty, it's got to, you know, and there's not many times I get nervous on a call or actually introducing somebody. And but it's always funny. Every time I bring you on the call, a sense of kind of getting nervous because I want to share with everybody listening in. You'll catch a recording and everybody listening in. Sometimes because you're our founder that you'll spend the time and shake our hands, and they're truly humbled by, to be able to meet you and your humble nature, you and your father, your whole family. But for people to truly understand who you are, and if they were to even dig around on Google to see the circles you run around and the influence you have on people around the world, and to the fact that you're opening up for us to send us our goals to you through an email, and I know you'll read them. I just want to thank you for everything you stand for and what you do not only for SEIA, but for the industry as a whole.
Thanks, Terry. It means a lot.
All right, guys. The call will be recorded. It's up immediately following this call, so you guys get out to your peeps as soon as you possibly can. This was one of those ring dingers. This was a fantastic call. Thank you, Tyler, once again. And, guys, everybody have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. See you soon. Thanks.
Thanks.